We're going to go to the Word of the Lord together. If you want to stand one more time, just out of respect for the reading of the Word of God, I'm going to read a lot of scriptures today, so I'm not going to have you stand every time I read, but we're going to go to the book of Mark, Mark chapter 5, and we're going to look at a story that you probably have heard before if you've been around church, but it's the story of the healing of Jairus' daughter. Now, let me say, there's some people that they would pronounce it Jairus. And I grew up in the South, so we just like to add extra syllables to everything is what I hear. So I grew up saying Jairus. I had a friend, and he had a D on the front of his name, and his name was Darius. He wasn't Dyrus, okay? So I'm going to call him Jairus for today's reading. Although if you're a Jairus person, that's okay. We can agree to disagree. But we're going to look at the story of the healing of this man's daughter. He was a leader in the synagogue, a religious area, and we find this story in a couple of different places in the New Testament, but I'm going to zero in here in the book of Mark. And this is while they are going to Jesus is headed towards his house where his daughter is. We pick up in Mark chapter 5, verse 35, and King James Version says, "While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain, which said, Thy daughter is dead." This is an update. "Why troublest thou the master any further?" The English Standard Version renders that same text this way: "While he was still speaking," Jesus is speaking to someone else, "there came from the ruler's house someone who said, Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" Verse 36 says, "But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, Do not fear, only believe." The title of my sermon today is When God Eavesdrops. When God eavesdrops. Amen. You can be seated today. You know, last week I preached a message that dealt with the difficulty of when to respond to a situation when it's not necessarily going to turn out in your favor. We looked at the three Hebrew boys that were going to be cast in the fiery furnace, and when they're faced with the two outcomes, on the one hand, God could deliver them from ever having to go through this, and on the other hand, they realize they may be thrown into a furnace and burned alive. The way they viewed those two, the fork in the road of those two situations, was contained in three words. They said, "Our God can deliver us, but if not, we will still not bow." And so we dealt with that very difficult perspective that we're called to have as Christians, the "but if not" perspective, that even if things don't go our way, we're still going to serve the Lord. And in this moment too, they say, "Our God can deliver us. Our God will deliver us from your hand." And then it says, "But if not, we will still not bow." I think what's so amazing about that perspective is even if they did have to go through the fire, even if they did die and were martyred for their belief, that would still be a deliverance from the hand of the king. Even if that is the way the Lord chose to deliver them, they said, "Our God will deliver us one way or the other." What a challenging way to live. What a challenging perspective to have. And so today, I just want to give you some encouragement. I want to look at some scripture, and I want to encourage you from the text today and just maybe lift your spirits. And today's subject is not altogether uncommon, but I want someone to hear this today. And let me just start by saying that no matter what situation you are facing today, I truly believe and have seen to be the case that God has enough power to handle it. God has enough ability. God has enough wisdom. God has enough knowledge to deal with whatever you may be facing in your life. He has enough divine tools at his disposal to fix whatever it is you're facing. God hears you when you pray, and God also hears the enemy when he tries to speak into your life. And we're going to look at this, and we're going to rewind a little bit in this story. Mark 21, again in the English Standard Version, says, "And when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. Seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live. And he went with him." So here we have this situation. where Jairus has come before Jesus with an urgent matter. My daughter is dying. I need you to come to my house. I need you to heal her so that she may live. So Jesus agrees and he goes with him. And we continue in this story, and a great crowd followed after him and thronged about him. And then it speaks of there's another story that is inserted into this chapter that you may also have heard of, called the woman with the issue of blood. There is a woman that has had an issue in her life of blood for 12 years. And in this story, she presses her way through the crowd and she just touches the hem of Jesus' garment. And the Bible says that she was healed, and Jesus recognizes that power has gone out of him. And he says, "Who touched me?" And the disciples said, "What are you talking about? There's a whole crowd of people jostling and hustling and bustling." And he says, no, stop everything. Somebody touched me because I felt virtue go out of me. And so this amazing situation unfolds and Jesus heals this woman. She had been dealing this for 12 years, but imagine if you are Jairus in this situation. Here, Jesus is on the way to your house to fix your urgent need, to speak into your life, to heal your daughter, and he gets interrupted on the way. Now, to everyone else, what's happening here is great, but again, if you are Jairus, and sorry, streaming team, I'm running all over the platform today. They got to follow me with the cameras. But if you're Jairus, can you just imagine? You're watching all this unfold, and yeah, that's great. But for you, this is a delay. Because Jesus is supposed to be going to your house, and here he is distracted and stopped. And can you just imagine? There's one word that comes to mind, how he must have felt. He must have felt with his daughter dying at home, and yet Jesus being held up. He had to feel powerless. Can you just imagine what he must have felt like? Well, I believe today that you can imagine. You know why? Because I know that there may be situations in your life, even right now, where you feel the same way, powerless to do anything. You've prayed, "Jesus, I need you to come. I need you to fix this. I need you to heal this. I need you to help me. I need something from you." And now, certainly, this is wonderful, what's happening with this woman, but for Jairus, it's a delay. For Jairus, he's waiting. For Jairus, everything is not okay. And so we see that the story of that woman, and then, well, in verse 35, again, I can just imagine that Jesus is here and he's talking to the woman, and the Bible says, "And while he was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house someone who said, 'Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?'" If only Jesus hadn't been distracted on the journey. If only Jesus hadn't been delayed. This was not how this was supposed to happen. And as I imagine myself in this scenario, I almost feel that the simplicity of the interaction with Jesus may have been a frustration. Jairus is asking Jesus to come lay his hands on his daughter, and Jesus goes with him. But while he's on the way, something else happens. Another situation pops up, and Jesus is occupied. So let me ask you a question. What if it's gotten worse while you've been waiting on God? What if the situation deteriorates while you are waiting? What if you've prayed and you feel like things are moving, you feel like God may be answering, but in the waiting, it's fallen apart. In the waiting, it's fallen apart. You see, the people that brought this news to Jairus that his daughter has died, they didn't only bring news, but they brought perspective to him, an improper perspective. They said, "Your daughter has died. Why trouble the teacher any further?" They bring with them a perspective of limitation on God's power. In their mind, yes, surely, if she's sick, something can be done. But now that she's dead, all hope is gone. So what do you do in your situation when you've prayed and you're waiting and things get worse? I want to begin with a message to you, with just a point of encouragement and an admonition, if you will. I want to tell somebody today, if you had enough faith to ask him, then have enough faith to trust him. Somebody today, you asked God and it took a lot of faith for you to step out and ask him. And so today, if you had enough faith to ask him in the beginning, you have to also release that to God, because what we like to do is we like to ask him and put a bunch of strings on it or put a bunch of expectations that if God is going to fix this, then this better happen this way. Or if this happens, then it's beyond repair. If this happens, then it's beyond hope. But let me just tell you, that same faith that you grabbed a hold of to ask God, to petition him, I'm just asking you to pick up that same faith, to trust him, to say, you know what? I may not understand it yet. There may be a delay in my circumstance, but I'm not going to give up on God. I'm going to trust him. And again, these people, they didn't just bring news. They tried to shift the perspective of Jairus. They tried to say, your daughter is dead, and so that means all hope is lost. Don't bother Jesus any further. And let me just tell somebody today that I believe the same thing may happen in your life if you're not careful. There are people, they will bring news to you, but not only that, they will try to bring a perspective that can twist and distort what God has already said. They may come to you and say, well, this is what looks like is happening, and then why even pray about it anymore? And sometimes it's not other people. You know who it is? Sometimes it's yourself. Sometimes it's your own thought process that says, well, I thought that Jesus could fix it until this happened. But now that fill in the blank, now that this has happened, what is the point of praying anymore? Why would I pray? Why would I have that perspective? And there are going to be times when you feel like, well, I thought there was hope when this was the case. But now that this has happened, now that this threshold has been crossed, now that this has been broken, now that fill in the blank, whatever has transpired, even you in your own mind may be saying, why would I pray anymore? What's the point anymore? This is dead. As this girl was dead, they said, there's no hope. This girl is dead. But in verse 36, it says, but overhearing what they said, Jesus turned to the ruler. He turns to Jairus and he gives him an admonition. And what I love about this, the Bible doesn't tell us if this was just physical or if it was divine. Maybe Jesus was still in earshot of the conversation. Maybe Jairus was just outside of the circle where Jesus was talking. But I believe it also could be the case that he had a divine frequency, that he was attuned to the words of this conversation. And so I just want to tell somebody today, in the same way that Jairus, I'm sure, felt like he was over here and he was in the corner and Jesus was working miracles, and that's great for them. But here I am, I'm just waiting. Here I am struggling. Here I am with no answer, and someone brings news to him and says, you know what? It's hopeless. Just give up. But what's amazing is in that moment, Jesus overheard and he said, I hear what is happening. Don't be afraid. Just believe. Let me just tell somebody today that we serve a God that can eavesdrop into your conversations. No matter what's going on in your life and in your mind, he hears. God hears every conversation. I'm telling you, even the thoughts that you think to yourself, those conversations that you have with yourself, I believe that God hears it, and he's trying to answer you today and say, fear not, only believe. Oh, I'm reaching for somebody today that you've been stuck, that you feel like you're waiting, that you feel desperate. Maybe you didn't even pray. Maybe you just spoke it out in the middle of the night saying, I don't even know what to pray anymore. God hears you when you think. God hears you. God hears you when you speak. God eavesdrops, and he wants to speak to you today. In Luke 8:50, in the same story, but when Jesus heard it, he answered him saying, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. Let me tell somebody today, I believe Jesus wants to speak into your situation. Fear not, believe only, and you shall be made whole. We serve a God that can hear you. We serve a God that's eavesdropping on your conversations today. God hears that thought of doubt. Oh, I'm so passionate about this today, because I believe you could be struggling in your mind. But when I read this story, I've read it I don't know how many times, but it jumped out to me when Jesus overheard that. The Bible says he was speaking to this woman. He was actively in a conversation while he was yet speaking. While Jesus was speaking to the woman he just healed, news came. When Jesus overheard it, he immediately spoke into that situation. He says three things in Luke 8:50 in this rendering. Fear not, believe only, she shall be made whole. This makes me think of 2 Corinthians 10:5. We think about believe and don't fear. It says we need to cast down imaginations. The amplified version of 2 Corinthians 10:5 says this: we are destroying sophisticated arguments and every exalted and proud thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God. The ESV says we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion. We need to understand that. To believe only, you've got to destroy arguments, because your self-arguments will turn concern and doubt into fear, and fear will rule your life. Let me just give you an example. Maybe some of you have this experience. You have a loved one in surgery, and you find yourself in the waiting room. And even if the statistics are great, even if the chances are high that everything's going to be okay, let's just say it's a 5% chance that something could go wrong, and you're in that waiting room, what emotion desires to take over? It's fear. And maybe you're with someone and you have this kind of conversation. Well, what if this goes wrong? Or what's going to happen to that person? What do they say? It's okay. You can't think like that. It's okay. You can't fear like that. It's okay. You just got to believe. And let me tell you, that same thing that happens in the physical world, in the waiting room of a surgery, also happens in your life. What if I just told you in the physical realm, hey, guess what? You don't need to fear, because you know who the surgeon is today? Do you know who showed up for the surgery? It's Jesus Christ that's in the operating room. You would say, okay, then I don't have to worry. Well, so it is in the waiting room of your life. Let me tell somebody today, I know you feel like you're in a waiting season. I know you don't understand maybe what's going to happen next, but there is one who sits on the throne, and he has all control, and he sees the end from the beginning, and he overhears every doubt. He overhears every fear, but it's your job to destroy those arguments. You got to destroy that argument in your mind. You've got to destroy that argument of doubt. You've got to destroy that argument of fear, because it will produce unbelief. Oh, believe only. Somebody today, you need to say, God, I believe. God, I believe. I'm sick of fear. I'm sick of doubt. I choose belief. I choose to believe. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. But Jesus, on hearing this, Luke 8:50, the English Standard Translation, do not fear, only believe, and she will be well. The Greek word that's rendered, the Greek word sozo, can be rendered to either mean saved or healed, depending on the usage. And as many of these stories, when Jesus heals, it has a double meaning of being saved and healed. So let me also tell you that God not only wants to fix a physical infirmity, God not only wants to speak to a situation, but he wants to speak to your spirit. He wants to bring salvation to your home. He wants to bring restoration to your mind. He wants to speak into what's happening underneath the surface. It's not just a physical ailment that he wants to speak to, but it's some traumatic things in your life. It's some trauma you've experienced. It's some things of your mind. It's some things that have skewed the way you see your life. He wants to heal you today. But it's difficult, because he was in the waiting room. And now we continue on in the story. Jesus goes, let me continue reading. Verse 36, on overhearing this, do not fear, only believe. Then he continues, verse 37, and he allowed no one to follow him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. They came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and Jesus saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. And when he had entered in, he said to them, why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but sleeping. And they laughed at him. Now, this story is also retold in Matthew, the book of Matthew, chapter 9. Look at this, Matthew 9:23. When Jesus came to the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the crowd making a commotion. Well, this may seem odd. Why are there flute players? Why is there a crowd? she just went from sick to dead. Why? This is a unique circumstance. Well, you need to understand something about the customs of that time. It was customary that you would actually hire professional assistants for funeral moments. You know, and not to be morbid, but there was a very short window where mourning and funerals and bodies would decompose very quickly, and they didn't have all the things we have now. And so it was a very rapid progression. So in this time, you can research this. They would actually hire musicians and professional mourners that would come and wail and cry to aid with what was happening. So with that in mind, you got to realize as Jesus came onto the scene, we have musicians, we have professional mourners. And let me just tell you, when I read that, I realized, you know what? When you have things happen in your life, when you have situations, when you have a little drama, when you have a little trial, there's going to be some people that will show up. There's going to be some people that flock to those kind of situations. And they're going to be there making a commotion. And there's going to be some people there that they're not there for the actual situation. They're not there to be a help. They're just there because something's happening. They're just interested because there's some commotion. They're just interested because something has transpired. And so in this moment, when Jesus arrives and he finds all these people, he says, "Why are you making a commotion? What's all this? What's this show? She's not dead. She's asleep." And the Bible says they laughed at him, which again, this is odd to me. In this situation, laughter seems an odd response. Now, you could read that as, you know, it was unbelievable, so they just laughed. Ha, this is crazy. But to me, what it speaks of is just the fact that maybe they were not there in tune with a mourning process. They were really there for what was transpiring. They were there for the show. They were there as part of this. And Jesus' response, it says, "But he put them all outside. And he brings the child's father and mother." You see, what we got to understand about this, I believe that there's something in this that we can see. Sometimes there are some people in your life, there's been some things happening, and there's been some people that have shown up. There's been some people that are making a lot of noise. But let me just tell you, if you want some things to happen in your life, if you want faith to enter your home, there's going to be some people that have got to go. If you want faith to enter your house, there's going to be some people that you've got to kick out. If you want the power of God to move in your home, then you better kick out every person that would laugh at the power of God. For Jesus to work, he said, "You've got to go. You've got to get out. You're not here for this girl. You're not here for this family. You're just here for the commotion." So if you're here for the drama, you got to get out. If you're here just to talk about people, you got to get out. If you're here just to gossip and see what's happening, you got to get out. We're not interested in that. Why are we here? We're here to see a move of God. We're here to see the power of God. We're not here to talk about people. We're not here to gossip about people. We're not here for a show. We're not here to make fun of people that have been broken. No, we're here because we want Jesus to move. But you got to kick some people out. You got to kick some voices out. If you want Jesus to come in and move, there's some voices you got to get out. Let me tell you, if you want your marriage to succeed, there's some voices you got to get out of your marriage. If you want your family to succeed, there's some voices you got to kick out. If you want your children to succeed, there's some voices you got to kick out of their home. You got to maintain your house. This better not be a place where we laugh at what God can do. This better not be a place where we joke and say, "Well, it's too far gone." No, this is a place where Jesus can walk in and say, "You call it dead, I just call it asleep. You call it done, I say it's not over." And if you don't believe me, you better get out now, because I'm about to do something amazing in this place. Let me tell somebody today, you better not laugh at what my God can do. You better not make fun of what he can do, because you think it's dead, but he says, "No, it's not dead. Watch this." The Bible says Jesus walked over and touched her, that thing that was unclean, that dead body, and he said, "I'm going to raise it back to life." You know why people are rejoicing? Because they were once dead in sin, and now they're alive in Christ. Oh, I'm so thankful that we serve a God that can restore, that we serve a God that can heal, that we serve a God that can put broken lives back together. Oh, just praise him in this place. God, we thank you. If you did it before, you can do it again. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you want the power of God to move in your house, you better kick out those that laugh at what he can do. Thank you, Jesus. God, I pray that we can see it. God, I pray right now, people that have laughed, maybe out of contempt, people that have laughed because it's so unbelievable, I pray that you would speak into their spirit right now and say, don't laugh at what I can do. Don't you write off this situation. Don't you write off my power, because my power goes beyond anything you can imagine. And guess what? In that time, if you were to touch a dead body, you would be ceremonially unclean for 7 days minimum. No matter what, Jesus walks right in and takes her by the hand. That dead girl, he takes her by the hand. You know what that tells me? He cuts through everything. He jumps through every hurdle. He cuts through everything that everybody else would say. Well, you got to do this, and you got to do that, and if you're going to be made whole, you got to do this. And yes, certainly, there are some physical things, but we serve a God that can go directly to the heart of the matter and say, I don't care what the rules say. I don't care what man says. If I decide you shall live, I will touch you, and you shall live. Jesus is the only one that nothing can make unclean, and anything he touches, he purifies. So he reached down and said, I shall not become unclean. You shall become well. At the touch of Jesus, you can become well. At the touch of Jesus, you can be restored. Oh, I'm so thankful for that today. And the Bible says, and immediately the girl got up and began walking, for she was 12 years of age, and they were immediately overcome with amazement. Now, I want to tell somebody something today. This struck me in the reading of this story. Some of you may say, well, that's wonderful, because I know that they're praying for a circumstance. They're praying for a situation, God, to come heal them. But let me ask you a question. What if the root of the problem is you? What if you are the issue? How do you respond? Because it's one thing to say, yes, that's great. God, I need you to come fix this thing over here. This girl was 12 years old. This situation, the Bible doesn't tell us, but I imagine because of the urgency of Jairus and the fact that when he came to Jesus, he was sick and then she died, this seems to be a sudden onset situation. This was a situation that popped up. But what if it's something that's been going on for a long time and it's actually your fault? It's hard to have faith. Let's go back to the story that was interjected. There's a woman. She's been unclean for 12 years. How old did we just read Jairus' daughter was? She's 12 years old. This woman, she was unclean by everyone else's standards. Jairus, the problem he had was with his only daughter. His daughter. The sickness came to his daughter. When Jesus, this woman that was unclean, she came through the covering of the crowd and touched Jesus. She didn't address him. She didn't try to speak to him because her perception was she was so low. Oh, she just snuck in. I just snuck in here. She probably felt like she was the root of the problem. But look at this. Mark chapter 5. And let me find this in verse 34. After Jesus heals this, look at what he says to this woman. Mark 5, 34. And he said to her, daughter. He relabels her. He doesn't call her the unclean woman. Now he says, daughter. So let me show you. I believe that Scripture has given us a parallel. On the one hand, you have Jairus' 12-year-old daughter, a young girl, innocent, a situation that has popped up. She didn't necessarily do anything. And on the other hand, you have a woman who has been dealing with this, a 12-year-old daughter and a daughter that's been struggling for 12 years. What I believe we can see in this is whether this is something that just popped up overnight and you had no part in it, it just happened, or whether it's something you've been going through for a long time, and even if you feel like you're at the very center of it, Jesus does not care, and he is wholly able to heal and to fix. He said, 12-year-old daughter, I will fix that.
daughter that's been struggling for 12 years, I will fix that. Let me tell somebody today, even if you feel like you are at the very root of your own problems, Jesus does not care. He is just here to fix you. And you know what? He has been eavesdropping on your conversation with yourself, because I know you've been telling yourself what you can and can't do, what you've got to go through, what you've got to get over, all the steps and all the process, and thank God for that. But Jesus walked right in and said, I don't care if everyone else in this place thinks that she is unclean. Watch this. And he reaches down and he grabs her by the hand and he fixes the situation. So my God is a God that can reach for you today, no matter how unclean you may feel. He doesn't care. He's just ready for virtue to flow out of him. Oh, he's ready for virtue to flow. Somebody, you need to understand that today, that God wants to fix what is wrong in your spirit today. Oh, stand with me. I'm coming to a close. Little girl, I say to you, arise. Jesus fixed this situation. I know I'm passionate today. And again, if this is a very new context for you, I hope you can understand the spirit of my passion. Because what's amazing about this is that what just jumped out at me, I've read this story so many times, but is that this man, Jairus, he's dealing with the sickness of his daughter. And here he is. It's been delayed. Jesus has been delayed. Jesus is doing something else. And I'm sure at some point Jairus must have felt like, you know what? I guess my problems are just on the back burner. Here I am over here struggling on the side. There's other stuff going on. But my daughter is, things are deteriorating. And while he's waiting, the situation dies. Someone brings him news. Your daughter's dead. Don't even bother Jesus anymore. And then I read that. But Jesus overhearing them. I've read this story, I don't know how many times, but it just jumped out at me. But Jesus eavesdropping on what was happening. And I believe there's somebody today, you may feel in that exact same place. You're waiting. And while you've been waiting, things have fallen apart. Things have deteriorated. But I'm just here to tell somebody today that God, we have a God that can eavesdrop into your spirit. Hear every conversation. I want to tell you, maybe today, God laid this on my heart. And I wouldn't say that God spoke audibly to me. The way I would describe it is as I'm praying and I write in my journal, I write thoughts down. And the best way I can describe it is sometimes there's things that I think and I write that I can't quite identify where they originate from. And I have to trust, Lord, you're leading me with this. And I'll just begin to write and I pray and I write and pray over this. So if I could sum into words what I felt in my spirit this week as I've been writing and praying and preparing, it's that there are people here today, you are having conversations with yourself. Maybe some of you are, it's a situation and this has just popped up like Jairus's daughter. You're desperate. But others, this is a 12, 20 year issue. I'm here to tell you today that God has been eavesdropping with intention because he wants to fix it. And I want to give you the same. He gives two admonitions and a promise. He says, fear not, only believe, she will be well. So I give you that same admonition. Repeat the words of Jesus. Fear not, only believe. And I believe it shall be well. So I'm reaching for somebody today. I'm reaching for somebody that you've been having conversations with yourself. You've been having conversations with other people. You have a house full of things, and maybe metaphorically a house full of things, and you feel like you're just, when Jesus says something, you just feel like, I laugh because it's so ridiculous. There's no way. My response would be a laughter, a contemptuous laughter. But let me just speak to somebody today. I believe that God has been eavesdropping into your situation and he wants to speak to your spirit. So in a moment, I'm going to open these altars and I want to ask you if you believe that this message has been for you today, because I feel this in my spirit. I feel led. I don't just pick random verses. Every week I pray, God, I need you to help me, Lord. I don't want to just speak and have a good oration or a good message. I want you to speak to your people. And I feel that way about this message. I feel like the Lord is reaching for somebody today. He's been eavesdropping because he wants to fix what is happening in your life. He wants to fix what's happening beneath the surface. So if that is you, if you feel like God is speaking to you through this message, I would ask that you would respond right now. If you want to come down to these altars and pray around the front, I want to invite you to come right now. If you want to kneel right where you are, that's fine as well. But I want to ask you, not for my benefit, not for my sake, but I would ask, if the Lord is trying to speak to you today, and I'm not here to tell you exactly what he wants to speak into your spirit, what I'm here to tell you today is that you need to open your heart and open your mind and open your spirit and receive from God. I believe he wants to speak to your spirit today. I may not know exactly what situation it is, but I'm telling you, he's been listening. He's been attentive to your needs. He's been attentive to those conversations, those self-conversations. And today the answer is, let him speak into your spirit. Let him speak hope into your spirit. Let him speak into you the same words he said to Jairus when he overheard him from afar. Do not fear, only believe. She shall be well. I want to begin to pray over you, and I want you to begin to pray to the Lord and just say, God, I want you to speak to me. God, I want, my ears are open. My spirit is open. I want to pray right now. Lord, I pray over every person in this place, every young man, every young woman, every husband, every wife, every elder person, Lord. I pray that you would speak to us, Lord. I see your word, and I see that you are listening when we pray, even in the darkness of our mind, even in the privacy of our own home. When we speak words out, we don't even know what to pray. I believe that you hear those prayers. God, you've been eavesdropping on their conversations. You've been eavesdropping on what they've been thinking, and you are not slack on your promises. I believe that you want to speak. I believe that you want to start a new thing in them today. Oh, yes, let God speak to you right now. Let God minister to you right now. I want you to open up your spirit. I want you to say that, Lord, I want you to speak to me. Lord, I want to hear from you. Lord, I want to know what it is that you would say. Yes, that's it. Can you seek the Lord right now? Can you just ask that he would speak to you? I believe he will speak again to you. I believe that he will confirm his word. Let's pray right now. In Jesus' name, open your spirit to the Lord and let him speak to you, because we serve a God that eavesdrops and heals. Thank you, Lord.